is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice. And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
And welcome to Rogue Talk, week three of our new weekly show. And got a couple of things I want to cover before we get started here. I do want to give an apology to those that participated in last week's show. Julie Niles Fry was a great guest last week talking about everything going on with the Evans Valley Education and Community Center. And also my son Cameron was on that broadcast. And of course, Brian Dorsey. And we didn't get the recording. The computer failed us last week. So unfortunately, there's no archive of that that broadcast, so it's not available on the website. Hopefully things are working today. I've got a wonderful guest in the studio today, and we'll get to her in a little bit later, but hopefully everything will work, and we'll get that up on the website sometime after the end of the show. Another thing we talked about last week, we talked about the American Legion, the Grants Pass Nuggets playing in the American Legion tournament, and they made their way into the state tournament. And I got just checked the report on the games this weekend. They're at the state tournament, day three of the tournament, and they played earlier today. It's a double elimination tournament. It's being played at Volcano Stadium in Kaiser, and Tyler Secreta, a recent grad of Rogue River High School, is playing on the Grants Pass Nuggets, and they're participating in that tournament, as well as the Medford Mustangs, another local team. And in the opener, the Nuggets took on the Withnall Dodgers, which is the host team. They're out of Salem, and they lost 8-3. But yesterday, they were able to bounce back, and they knocked the Eugene Bimart Challengers out of the tournament with a 9-5 victory. So that was the second loss for the Challengers, so they're out of the tournament. That put the Nuggets at a 1-1 record, so they played this morning, and in a tight game, they were able to squeak by with a 13-3 victory over the Girding Builders Marketmen of Corvallis. So the Marketmen are also eliminated from the tournament, and that's kind of how these types of double elimination tournaments work. Once you've lost a game, until you get toward the end of the tournament, you tend to be in the what you would consider the loser's side of the tournament. So most of your games are elimination games. And in fact, they will play again tomorrow in another elimination game. Loser goes home and winner moves on. And they will be taking on either the Medford Mustangs or a rematch with the Withnall Dodgers. The loser, those two teams will be playing later today, I believe at 4:00. And the loser of that game will be playing the Nuggets at noon tomorrow. And finding information on American Legion ball is a little bit tough on the internet. I don't know if anybody is doing any kind of radio on that, so you'll have to Google that one. In fact, I'll be Googling that to see if I can listen, because I can't make it up to Salem this weekend. So that's the latest on that. Oregon Live is a good website to get some information on this tournament. They've been keeping it updated. So if you go to the Oregon Live site and search for American Legion State Tournament, you can get more information on that. Not a lot of statistics or any of that, but just keeping track of game by game how the tournament's going. Also, we talked about the softball tournament that the South Valley softball was playing in, and they finished the tournament. They started out with a tough loss, went into the last inning with a tie, and there was an error made in the inning that allowed a run to score. So they lost the first game, but they battled their way out of the loser's bracket, got back into contention for the title. Didn't quite get to the title, but they got a fifth place finish at this national tournament. And of course, Molly Culotta plays on that South Valley team, and we had talked about her last week. And in fact, she will be our guest on today's show, so we'll be talking to her a little bit later, and she can tell us all about that tournament. So those are updates on what we talked about last week. And so had a few notes from last week that I didn't get to, and Some of them will be timely, some of them won't. But don't know if anybody was paying attention to what was going on politically over the last 2 weeks. I mean, there was a couple of these things they call conventions. And truth be told, I really didn't watch too much of the conventions. I'm not big on people patting themselves on the back. I don't watch the Oscars. I don't watch the Emmys. I prefer People's Choice Awards and stuff like that. And some might argue that convention is a People's Choice Award, but it's really not, because all the speeches are just patting each other on the back and saying how wonderful they are and how horrible the other side is. But I did notice a couple of things about each of these conventions. First of all, Donald, why are you yelling at us? Why can't you talk to us? And, you know, having said that, I might be voting for the man. I haven't quite decided who I'm voting for or if I'll vote at all. But, boy, he did a lot of yelling in that convention. It was quite an intense speech. And moving to the other side, a lot of people were celebrating the speech from, Michelle Obama and her husband, the current president. And my reaction to some of the clips I've seen of the president's speech was, it seemed like it was a really, really good speech. The only problem I had with it is it doesn't match any of his policies. It didn't match anything he's done over the last 7 years. So I had a lot of friends on Facebook celebrating how wonderful the speech was. And I agree, it was a pretty good speech. But unfortunately, had he governed the way that he talked in that speech over the last 7 years, a lot of things might be a lot further ahead than they are now. But I take nothing away from the fact that he tends to be a pretty good orator. He can get a little flustered when he's off the teleprompter, but when he's on his game, he's as good a speaker as anybody. I don't know the right cliche there, but it just, the speech just didn't match what's really happening, has been happening in the country. So neither side seemed real impressive to me. I don't know if, what anyone else felt about that. I'll take this opportunity, if you're starting to get enraged and think I'm going to turn off the radio, I don't want you to do that, because we've got a great interview coming up. But if you do want to yell at me, you can do that at our line here at the station. I'll give it to you a couple of times here. It's 541-299-0498. That's 541-299-0498. So at any point during the show, and I'll try and hit that again a couple more times, if you feel the need to call in and you've got something to say, you're welcome to do so. And we've got a really great show. We won't have Brian Dorsey today. He's taking this week off, and actually we're kind of changing his duties on the show, and he won't be on quite as much, but when he comes on, he'll have a lot of great information about the chamber and potentially some interviews with some local business owners. So we'll look forward to those segments, but we won't have Brian Dorsey on every week anymore. We're still working out the details on what that's going to look like. So that's all the little details we needed to cover in this segment. I'm going to take the first break a little bit early so that we've got extra time with Molly. So when we come back, we will be joined by Miss Molly Culotta.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Oh, I wish there was a way to find out what events are going on in Rogue River.
There is.
There is?
Yeah, the website for 94.3 The Bridge.
They have Rogue River events on their website?
Yeah, for Gold Hill, Weimar, and Grants Pass, too. You can even submit your own event for everyone in town to see. And if it's on the website, they automatically talk about it on the radio, too.
That's awesome. What's the address to this site?
It's 943thebridge.com.
N-I-N.
No. Just type the numbers. 943thebridge.com.
Oh, 943thebridge.com. Hey, look, they have the latest local news on there, too.
They have everything on there. 943thebridge.com.
There's a lot on
my savings are gone.
Okay, where were they last?
Here, right before I spent them on that vacation to Aruba.
Weird. Not weird. Not saving now means no money later. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Bill Myers show that wrote this book.
Radio without all that junk.
You're listening to 94.3
The Bridge. When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes I did the same things over and over, until one day I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sure is a beautiful day to have lunch outside, huh?
Yeah, it sure is. Oh, hey, there's Bob. Hey, Bob,
quiet! I don't want Bob to see me.
Why not?
Because he's... Oh, no, he's looking over here!
Harold, why are you sticking your head in the garbage can?
Because I don't want Bob to see me.
Why not?
You know.
No, I don't know.
He's going through a divorce, and I can't cope with that right now.
What do you mean you can't cope with it?
I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know how to make him feel better. I don't have any answers. Hey, there's a whole sandwich down here.
Harold, you don't always need answers to help somebody. He probably just wants someone to talk to.
Just someone to talk to? What do you mean?
You know.
No, I don't know.
Somebody to be there, sort things out with, to just listen.
Just listen?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Good. You gonna eat that sandwich?
Listening. It says a lot.
A message from Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River. Visit us on the web at faithrogueriver.org.
This is the sound of E. coli splashing around in raw hamburger juice on your cutting board. And it looks like Mom just put the tomatoes and onions on there, too. Don't let E. coli mosh with your food. An estimated 3,000 Americans die from a foodborne illness each year. So always separate raw meat from vegetables on two cutting boards. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and apparently we had a hot mic there, so you got all the inside scoop on things, but we're back with you here, and I've got a special guest in the studio, Miss Molly Culotta. Molly, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
So I hear that you were in a pretty big national softball tournament this last weekend. Tell me about the team that you play on.
I play for South Valley Fast Pitch, and it's just a mix of girls, mostly from Hidden Valley High School, but they called my dad and got me on the team, and it's one of my previous coaches, Shalina Norberg, and I played with her on Little Stang's ASA Fast Pitch team. And this team is just a great group of girls, honestly. I haven't had a team with like this much chemistry for a long time. Well, everyone's really motivating.
Well, that's good. And that makes a big difference, having good team chemistry. You can have all the talent in the world, but if guys don't get along, it won't go well. And I think of some professional teams where that's been an issue. Just recently with the NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, one of their big stars is changing teams. And I think a part of that is the other star on that team, the two of them didn't really get along that well, so, and they blew a 3-1 lead in the playoffs to the Warriors, and a lot of that is team chemistry, so that's great that you have a team where the girls all get along and play well together. So you were playing third base for this team. I know you've played third base on the high school team, and you did a little bit of pitching too, and we were talking during the break there, and some people may have been able to hear or not, but I wanted to bring up a clip of you had in a particular game where you guys blew the, I don't even remember which team it was, but you had blown them out pretty good, but in that game you had a bases-clearing double, and I wanted to play that clip today, but unfortunately our baseball and softball broadcast seemed to be lost somewhere in the internet somewhere. But so going into this tournament, I was trying to keep track of it. I had your dad texting me, and I was trying to keep track of it on the internet. And you guys lost your first game, kind of a heartbreaking loss. And without throwing anybody under the bus, kind of tell me what happened. You went into the seventh inning with a tie. Was that right?
Yeah, we were tied the seventh inning, and nobody actually knew what inning it was. We just kept playing, and we just had our minds focused on the game. And when you get lost in the game like that, you don't know what inning you're in. And we had, I think it was bases loaded or a runner at three, and the ball was hit right to our first baseman. And instead of throwing home to stop the lead run, she just went to get the third out at first, not realizing what inning it was. But
well, and in that situation, in a baseball game, that would probably be the right play because the runner would never make it home in time. But of course, with the much shorter diamond for softball, you have to be very aware of where the base runners are. And so that's an unfortunate loss, but it not really a mental error, and not probably not the worst one you would have. That's one of those situations where it's probably a boom play, and had the play happened a little quicker, she would have gotten the out before the run scored. So you lost that first game, and that bumped you over to the loser's bracket. So tell me what happened the next day, because you guys had quite a day the next day.
The next day, I want to say we played two teams, and we just went out there, and we just played the way we knew we can and the way we've been practicing, and we ended up winning both the games that day, and that just kept us moving throughout the tournament.
So you move back into the winner's bracket, and we were getting some reports back, and it was, you know, going into the last day of the tournament, you still had a shot at the championship. You ended up with a tie for fifth place, I believe that is, and you ladies play in the under 16 division, is that right?
I think it's 16U.
16U, okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's in the NAFA. A lot of people, I think more people maybe know who ASA is. Mm-hmm. I talked about it a little bit last week. NAFA is the North American Fast Pitch Association. And one thing I noticed, a little difference with NAFA they do involve some Canadian teams, I guess, also. Was there any international teams there, or was this all American teams?
All American from what I saw. I didn't really see anyone else out of Oregon unless it was like Washington or a coastal team.
Well, and I would assume they call it a national championship for their organization. I would assume national would be one nation, but just wanted to check because I did see they had some Canadian affiliation. And you also, let's back up to school this year. You guys had a pretty good season on the Chieftain softball team. I don't have everything, all the details in front of me, but you guys made the playoffs. And how did that go?
We went out and we made playoffs, and we had our playoff game, and we played against Dayton, and that was a really tough school, but we held them 4-0, or I want to say 4-0 for 4 or 5 innings, but then we kind of just let it go.
Yeah, the wheels kind of fell off the wagon, and things get away pretty quickly, but it was a great season, and it was a lot of fun being able to call the games, and don't tell the guys on the baseball team, but I had more fun broadcasting softball, but you didn't hear that from me. So I've been told another thing, and it's fairly evident as we're talking right now, is you've been recognized a little bit for your public speaking as part of FFA. Tell me a little bit about what you've done in FFA.
So in FFA, I had a creed speech competition, and I had to memorize a 5-paragraph speech and present it in front of judges, and I ended up getting first place at districts and sectionals, and I was one of the top 8 speakers in the state for a freshman.
Wow, that's impressive. Now, I don't know a lot about FFA, to be completely honest, and I reached out to the Rogue River chapter, but to be fair to them, I did it yesterday. I was hoping maybe to get one of your fellow classmates in here to talk about the fair, because I know the fair recently, some of the kids were showing animals there. Now, have you done any animal raising, or is that not part of what you do in FFA?
In FFA, I enjoy like the public speaking competitions and the premier leadership and growth ones, but my family and I are planning to get pigs and show them through FFA, so that should be cool.
Now, whose idea was that? Was that mom's idea or dad's idea?
Mine.
Oh, your idea.
Yeah.
Now, how much arm twisting did it take? Because I know your dad pretty well, and well, he would do anything for you, but I'm not sure if anything includes pigs.
Well, my mom thinks pigs are cute, so she kind of helped out.
Well, Clearly, she does. I'm looking at Tony right now. We've got Tony in studio, but we other than the host being a little unprofessional and leaving a hot mic, we're trying to keep Tony off a mic. We don't want to get his business in any trouble here today. So Tony's a little bit like I am. You get him talking, and he might get himself into a little bit of trouble. Isn't that right? So that's great. So now what do you, the speeches that you do for these competitions, do you have like a, do they give you a something you have to speak about, or do you pretty much get to choose?
For the competition I did, it was creed speaking, and it's only freshmen's, and you memorize the FFA creed, which is kind of like the motto. It's been there forever. But there are a few other competitions. Amber Cripps had to write her own speech, and she got third place in the state for writing her own speech. If you do write a speech, it has to be agricultural related, though. So you can't just write a speech about anything. It has to relate to agriculture.
And what did you speak about again?
The FFA creed. It's kind of like the FFA motto. It's what we...
Oh,
we go
okay.
By and
okay.
Stuff like that.
I needed you to explain a creed speech to me. Again, I am the neophyte when it comes to FFA. I was in FBLA when I was in high school, and it sounds like there's some similarities there, at least as far as the state competitions go. I never really went too far with it. I had a brother that was pretty good. I think he may have even won a state competition at one point. But it's a neat thing to be able to compete in those. You know, those, and be able to move up, you know, get to state, and then even go to national competitions. So as a freshman doing that well, that's wonderful. I commend you. So you're smart, you're a great athlete, you're beautiful. Is there anything you can't do?
I don't know.
I put her on the spot. See, she couldn't come up with something she can't do, so she can do it all. So, well, let's jump back to the softball. Tell me what are your strengths and your weaknesses in your game? What are things that you're proud of that you're really good at? And what are things that you're trying to work on for the future?
I'm definitely that one person in the dugout who keeps their team up nonstop. I came home from the tournament not having a voice at all from cheering on my team and just keeping everyone pumped up, even if I wasn't playing the game. I definitely just need to work on little things like my batting and my agility, and that's something that I feel like with my South Valley team, I'm going to go back to the high school season striving in and getting way better at.
Well, that's good. And are we going to see you this next high school season? Will we see you a little more out inside the circle?
Not sure about pitching, but definitely something I need to work on considering Rogue River only has one other pitcher, Alyssa Sands. So that's something I need to work on, but that's not what I've been focusing on with my South Valley team right now.
Sure, sure. So you've been the starting third baseman, is that right, on the South Valley team?
I have played three, and I did catch a little bit.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
that's right. Your dad told me you were a backup catcher also.
Yeah.
And that's, see, again, you're just becoming more and more wonderful in my mind, because I played catcher in baseball and I love that position. It's you have to be a little bit crazy to play catcher. There's no doubt about it. And I'll be the first to admit it. But you're involved in every single play. You're involved in every single pitch. And to me, it's almost as important, and in some cases more important than even the pitcher. So that's a great position. And you seem to be and again, I won't try and be too politically correct, a thinking man's ball player. You're very methodical about the way you approach, and I've gotten to cover some of the high school games and watch you, and your head is in the game all the time, I notice. Is that something that you think about, or is that just something that comes natural to you?
Well, I just want to focus on it play by play, and if the ball gets out of play or, you know, you make an error, you just have to think about the next play, because sitting there and stewing on it is not going to help you in softball, because you can't do anything about it once the ball left your hand.
No, and that's right. And knowing the situation, I think, is hugely important. And like you said, with that error that cost you the first game of the tournament this past weekend, it's knowing what the current situation is, and you seem to have a good mental focus, I notice. And playing third base, I don't know how many of the listeners are familiar with with how much different soft fast pitch softball is from baseball, third base can be a very dangerous position because you're constantly charging the mound or the plate. Especially in softball terms, what is bunt situations. You know, if there's a runner at first in a tight game, you're expecting a bunt, so you're creeping in, waiting for that bunt, and if that batter swings away, that can be a scary, scary thing down at third base.
Yeah. I wore a face mask for a very long time because of it.
Yeah, I can imagine. My brother and I, way, way back in the day, we had the Guanella Brothers was a top-level ASA men's team, and they played right near our house, and we would spend weekends at the softball fields watching tournaments. They would host tournaments, you know, I mean, weekend after weekend, we would be out at the ball field, and I always remember I keyed on the third baseman. I was always watching the third baseman most of the time. I mean, the pitchers were phenomenal. These guys, I mean, well, you've seen the videos of the top women pitchers making major league hitters look foolish. These guys throwing from, you know, fast pitch distance, it's scary. I wouldn't want to bat against them, but I was always watching the third baseman because I just didn't want to see somebody lose his teeth. Do you ever worry about that?
I had braces, so that was a very scary spot playing, actually. I've been hit in the throat, though.
Ooh, yeah, that can be painful and a little dangerous. So looking to next season, now you mentioned Alyssa Sands. Mm-hmm. Is she, what year is she?
She'll be a senior.
She'll be a senior. So we got one more season with Alyssa. She's a good pitcher, and she's probably mm-hmm. someone that's helped you with your pitching a little bit. If you said you're not thinking too much about pitching, but I imagine they're going to be calling on you somewhat as a reliever and maybe, you know, even a starter, you know, when you have back-to-back games in that situation, what are some of the things on the pitching mound that you're, or the pitching rubber, you guys don't have a mound, I guess that wouldn't be the right terminology. Are you working on to improve your consistency and your, you know, your pitching performance?
To improve, like, my pitching, I had a really hard time with, like, getting down on myself if I walked a batter. So it's definitely the mental game that I need to work on, but I do need to work a lot on, like, just overall my pitching, like, the leaning and the snap and everything like that, so I can just, I don't open up very big because I'm not very tall, so that's kind of a struggle I have to deal with.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That compact motion can generate plenty of power where you need it. And so you mentioned earlier that your hitting is something you've been wanting to work on. My estimation from watching not all of your games, obviously, but from a handful of the games is that you're a pretty good hitter. What are the things you're struggling with that are going to help you become a better hitter?
Well, comparing like high school ball to the South Valley, I'm going up against faster pitchers than I've ever seen. So it's definitely just I need to focus on seeing the ball and getting my swing down to where it's making good contact. And I roll my hands over so it dives into the ground every time. But I need to work on hitting like the center of the ball so I can actually drive it.
Sure. And that's important. And I've seen you drive a few, but that it's always good to improve those things. Now, you mentioned your South Valley team. And now I lost my train of thought. I had another question regarding that. In the tournament, then, I know in that first game, you actually came against a pitcher that threw actually a little slower than you were used to. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We definitely had to get our timing down, adjusting everything like that. And that's something that it's something some girls can work on, but not every girl can. So we just have to work on it as a team.
Yeah, and that can be a tough thing. And I know for people that know baseball, it's not as much of an issue. The pitcher's a little farther away. And, of course, pitchers tend to, in both baseball and softball, mix up their pitches. They'll throw off-speed pitches, whether they be a pitch that moves or just a straight changeup that slows down. But I can imagine you get up against a pitcher that just as a few, you know, a few miles an hour off of what you're used to facing, it can really throw you off. But it sounded like it was a pretty good game up until that last inning. So how did you do throughout the rest of the tournament hitting-wise? How was your hitting through that tournament?
At that tournament, I was actually not able to hit. I had a flex hitter for me.
Oh, you weren't hit? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah,
see?
Yeah, because I didn't want to let my team down. I was striking out the first game, so I had my coach had a DP flex hitter for me, and it's something as an athlete, it's like a tough pill to swallow because you don't want to let your team down, but you want to go out there and just smack the ball, but you have to do what's right for everybody's sake just to be able to go out there and win.
Yeah, well, and I understand in more of an all-star type situation, which is kind of what a travel team tends to be. You have to accept your role and do the best at that role as you can. And it sounds like you're a pretty good team player. You know, if you mention that your best quality is that you get behind your team and that you lose your voice over the course of a tournament, I'm sure that that's not a problem being a role player for you. Looking forward to next high school season, you mentioned we're losing a lot of seniors, and I do apologize. We're jumping around a little bit here, but I'm really interested in this stuff. I live for fast pitch softball. So, in fact, I was an Oakland A's season ticket holder for 12 years, but the only reason I started going to A's games was because the Guanella brothers shut their team down, and I no longer had softball tournaments to go to every weekend. So looking ahead to the high school team, and of course, as we get into the school year, we'll have you guys back in here and do probably a preseason show before the season starts. What are the big losses as far as seniors, and I don't mean the people in particular, but their position or their quality that we're losing? I know Courtney Hardy was a senior, correct?
Yeah.
And in my estimation, she was probably the most consistent hitter on the team. She was game in and game out. You could count on her to be a pretty consistent hitter. Is that right? Do you see the same thing?
Definitely. Courtney always was able to get on base, and she was also our only catcher. So this year we have to train somebody else to catch. So that'll be...
Oh, so the job's open for you, Molly. All you got to do is throw on the gear. I'm sure Dad wouldn't mind if you played a little catcher.
Probably not.
I think your dad probably played some catcher back in his days. He's been hitting the head a few times, I think. Yeah, now, and we mentioned your dad. He's been coaching the JVs, is that right?
Yeah, he coached the JVs season this year.
Now, did you play both teams, or did they put you mainly on varsity?
I was on varsity, but I would swing over down to JV to pitch if my dad would just talk to Dennis and Jill. And it was more of experience for me just to be able to go out there and pitch in front of batters and kind of just get that being comfortable on the mound.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, looking ahead to this next season, you probably won't be a swing player as a sophomore. I would imagine they're going to want to keep you strictly on varsity. You were a starter for varsity most of the season, I think. So I guess it depends on numbers, of course, if the JV team is short of numbers. And, of course, our girls' program has always been very popular. Why do you think that that softball is so popular in Rogue River? Because I've noticed that with all of the girls. Even when I was coaching basketball, it was like, well, I'm going to play basketball, coach, but softball is my number one sport. And I heard that over and over. Why is it so popular here?
I think it's just our coaches and just the way we all get along on the team. It's just really fun the way we all work hard and we all have that same goal to go out there and win the game and just make it to playoffs. And we all just go out there with the same mindset. And our coaches also, they make us work really hard. And I think that's why we all love softball around Rogue River. And we've done good every year. We've always made it to playoffs. So I think that's why it's so popular.
Yeah, now, and you've had a couple of really good coaches. Of course, tell me about your high school coach. He's been there for many, many years, and everybody likes Dennis. Tell me about Dennis as a coach.
I met Dennis when I was super little because my older sister Jasmine had him as a coach, and Dennis, he's always out there, and he motivates us, but he's just funny to be around, and he always goes out there and makes us laugh, and Jill's more serious with it, but Dennis will always be like that grandpa to us.
Yeah, Jill can be a little intense, there's no doubt about it. And now your coach with the South Valley team, according to your dad, he's a pretty highly acclaimed coach. He's coached some pretty top level teams. Tell me the difference between your coach at South Valley and Dennis. Dennis, pretty laid back and pretty steady. How is your coach for South Valley? And I'm sorry, tell me his name again.
Carl Dinkle. He's our coach. He really focuses on our fundamentals, and he told us he's not going to teach us stuff that we already know, like routine plays. He's going to teach us the things that we need to know, like, you know, that one time you need to make a throw and run, like ground the ball and throw it while running. He's going to teach us that. And he doesn't just teach us stuff on the field. He teaches us how to approach the field. Like when we get out of the cars, we walk in pairs into the field and we leave like that. He teaches us things that college scouts look for. And he hasn't just taught us softball. He taught us how to approach scouts, how to message them, how to write emails to them, and just overall how to make ourselves more appealing to them.
So he's not only teaching you to win, but he's teaching you how to be a winner. And that's very important. And that's going to serve you well going forward, because as we know, with the cost of education these days, any scholarships that you can get, it's going to be a huge help. And we'll mention one more of your coaches. And the reason I'm going to mention your dad one more time is I found you to be a very respectful kid, and I'm not surprised by that, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't know if you remember, but there was a time I used to come out and do some work out at your house, and I remember you were pretty young and pretty small. But the reason I mention that is because when Jasmine was around, I was never Jasmine's coach, but I was coaching basketball at the time that she was playing basketball for Coach Earhart, and I was always addressed by Jasmine as, hey, coach, and it was a respect, it was a thing of respect. So I'm not surprised to see that you're a very, very kind and respectful person, and clearly your mom and dad must have a lot to do with that. So I wanted to mention that, because I do remember way back when, this has been several years ago, and so your parents have raised you both right. I've been happy to have you here for the interview. I hope you'll stick around. We're going to have some fun in the third segment. We're going to bring my son Cameron on, who you know. He's a classmate of yours. And we're going to look at some of the current headlines and have a little fun looking at that. So if you'll stick around, we'll take a break here, and we'll be back with the last segment. So don't go away.
You're listening to Rogue Talk
on 94.3 The Bridge.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your station for Rogue River News,
weather,
and talk radio that matters. 94.3 The Bridge.
Hi, this is Pastor Gigline from Faith Lutheran Church, and thank you to those listeners who have pledged to help this community-oriented Christian radio station. We're still looking for 13 listeners who'd be willing to pay $25 a month to help us keep doing what we're doing. If you're interested in helping us out, you can click on donate at 943thebridge.com, or if you want to donate the old-fashioned way, just give me a call, 541-582-0457. Thanks for your support of 94.3 The Bridge, your hometown voice.
Of course my kid's in the right car seat. Well, I think he is.
Yeah, my kid's in a booster seat. He was ready to move up. He is ready, right?
Her car seat looks like the right size.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear facing, forward facing? I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
I know my child's in the right car seat, or else I wouldn't get in the driver's seat.
brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Dad?
Son, come home with me.
Visit the secret panda village?
Sleep like a panda.
Eat like a panda.
I knew I wasn't eating up to my potential.
It's not always easy being a dad, but it's always worth it.
Let me teach you how to belly golf.
Awesome!
Take time to be a dad today.
Thanks, Dad.
Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk. I am your host, the Rogue Announcer, Jeff Smith, and I'm going to give out the number again if anybody wants to call in. We're going to have a little fun in this next segment. I've got Molly Culotta. She was nice enough to stay with us again. I'm also going to bring my son Cameron Smith on, and we're going to look at some headlines. But before we do that, I am going to get out my weekly copy of the Rogue River Press, and there was one thing in here I did want to mention. The press did a nice article on Weimar, and they did mention that the Weimar picnic is coming up on Sunday, August 7th at the community center grounds, or the old school grounds. It'll be from 4 to 7, and that's an annual event, huge tradition out in Weimar. Isn't that right, Molly? Have you ever been to the community picnic?
I probably have. I just don't remember.
I haven't been to one, but I don't live in Weimar either. So I did want to mention that. And so now we're gonna move into a little game here, and I want to welcome Molly back to the show, and Cameron, welcome. So you can speak right into that microphone, just like last week. Last week we had Cameron on. He talked about Pokemon, and I'd like you to be able to hear what we talked about. He had my guest Julie Niles Fry on here, and she was, during the break, they were talking about Pokemon. He was teaching her stuff that she didn't know, and I was wondering if I was going to have a guest when we came out of the break, because they were so busy playing Pokemon that I didn't know if I could get them back on mic. But we were able to get them back on. So we're gonna play a little game here, and actually I'm going to change it up. I lied to you. We're gonna make this a little bit easier. I've got some headlines that I found, and these are real headlines, and I want to see what you guys think about some of these. Donkey bomb kills 8 in Tara Market. Cameron, what is a donkey bomb?
I don't know.
Is that something out of Pokemon? Because I never heard of that. Well, as long as we're talking about donkeys, I've got another headline here, and we can even hit this story a little bit. New York horse poop fire sparked by hot, dry weather. You heard that right. A horse poop fire. Molly, have you guys ever had a horse poop fire out in Weimar?
No.
So let's take a look at this story. This was from today. An officer of the Department of Environmental Conservation responded to investigate complaints about a foul odor and smell coming from a large pile of burning horse manure. And I won't read the whole story, but at the end of the story, he says the flames spread dangerously close to a valley full of dry vegetation and dead trees. It took three local departments more than 2 hours to extinguish the burning manure. The stable owners were advised to take measures to mitigate the combustion problem immediately. Well, there's some good advice. You guys started a manure fire. Maybe you should get rid of the manure. I don't know.
I guess the farmer wanted to have a bonfire.
Apparently so. I'm sure that was kind of a stinky bonfire. Now, Cameron and I, we saw this story, Molly. I'm going to leave out parts of this story, and I want you to see if you can guess what the hook is in this story. There was a Florida boater that was arrested for feeding the gators. Now, the reason you can't feed gators is because when gators become accustomed to humans, they end up getting killed. There ends up being an incident, and they have to be put down because they're very dangerous animals, clearly. But there was something unique in this story, and I'm trying to figure out why this guy was arrested. And so was he arrested because this was his third offense? Was he arrested because he was feeding them rare watermelon? or was he arrested because his hand was bitten off? Which one do you think was the true part of the headline?
It has to be the third offense. I don't see why you'd get in trouble for getting your hand bitten off.
Well, that's what makes this story unique. This poor Florida man had his hand bitten off by a gator, but because he was feeding the gators, which is illegal in Florida, he was arrested for feeding the alligators, even though he got his hand bitten off. I guess I would think getting your hand bitten off would be enough of a punishment.
How did they handcuff him?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, I'm not sure. He probably was able to slip out of those handcuffs. Maybe they had to leg cuff him, but
probably so, had to wrap that hand up first.
So now this one will fall under the category of only in Oregon. Okay, so an orthodontist is being sued. Here in Oregon, is he being sued because he groped a patient? Is he being sued because he made a patient wait too long in the office? Or is he being sued because he left braces on a patient for 11 years? Which one do you think it is?
Wait too long.
Wait too long in the office?
Yeah.
Well, we wish that they would get into trouble for waiting too long because, as we know, doctors always leave us in the office way too long. But no, according to the Oregonian, a 22-year-old Oregon man has sued an orthodontist for leaving his braces on for 11 years, resulting in straight but rotten teeth. Now, there's a little catch to this story. I can understand you being upset with the orthodontist for having you wear braces for 11 years. That's a really... Would you like to wear your braces for 11 years, Molly?
2 years was enough for me.
Yeah, 2 years is usually more than enough.
I don't even have to get braces. So.
Well, that's good. But here's the little catch in this story. At least I see it as a catch. He suffered some serious tooth decay and periodontal disease while he was living in Eugene, Oregon. But it says here that his mother is a medical doctor. The lawsuit states that Boast, whose mother is a medical doctor, received an urgent phone call in June 2008 from the orthodontist's office saying that he needed to have his braces removed immediately. I'm sorry, but if your mother's a medical doctor and she allows you to wear braces for 11 years, not only should your mother lose her license, but your lawsuit should be thrown out immediately. But as they say, only in Oregon.
cases, you know, like the lady at McDonald's who sued because her coffee was hot. What do you think? A coffee is hot. And now, it spilled on her leg while she was driving out because it was between her legs. She sued and won the lawsuit. So, I mean, I guess...
Well, she did win the lawsuit, and there is one caveat to that case. They did show that the coffee was hotter than a hot cup of coffee should be expected to be by whoever decides those things. I'm not sure who that is. I imagine it's somebody at Dutch Bros that gets to make that decision. I'm not sure. But some broista somewhere decides that. But you're right. That was a famous case, and it's one of those things where if you stick a hot cup of coffee between your legs in a car, yeah, you know, maybe you're what they talked about when they talk about natural selection. Okay, so here's another one, and I want to make sure that Molly's mom hears about this because she might want to use this technique. One LA mom is embracing hypnoparenting. Anybody heard of hypnoparenting?
Please don't tell my mom about that.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling. She's going to hear this. I'm sure she's going to listen to this broadcast.
No.
Lisa Mockenberg says her teens are well-behaved and self-motivated thanks to a technique she calls hypnoparenting. Now, she is a hypnotherapist herself, and so she has frequently hypnotized her children, and her 17-year-old daughter said, "Mom's mind control methods have never been a secret, and they've had a positive effect on her own life." However, the brother may have a little bit of a different take. her son admits he's always enjoyed mom's mind games, but he says it could get a little crazy when she tries to kind of hypnotize us at every single possible situation. It can get a little overbearing. She gets into your head, clearly. Talk about a statement of the obvious. But as far as things like getting into college, I think it was an advantage. I think it helped me. You know, it's helped me have control over my own mind. I'm not too sure about that. You think you'd like to submit to some hypno parenting, Molly?
No. Because softball, you learn how to block your parents out of your head.
Yeah, well, and that's something that my kids have learned. When you're playing sports, you definitely got to block this dad out of your head, because watch it, Cameron. I'm usually busy yelling at officials anyhow, so it doesn't.
Well,
doesn't really
I
matter.
Saw a video of this UFC fighter. He was getting the crap out of him, and his mom was yelling at him, and he's like, "Quiet, mom, quiet!"
During a UFC fight.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a time you need to probably block mom out on that one. So before we get to our next story here, I did have a question come in for Molly, and they wanted to know, do you play any other sports, and are you going to play other sports next season at the high school?
Nope, just softball.
Just softball, but you did mention to me you have played other sports. What sports did you play?
I've played volleyball, soccer, and I was a cheerleader, and I played basketball for like 3 games.
Now, see, if you'd had me as your coach, I would have brainwashed you with hypno-parenting to keep playing basketball.
I was on crutches, so it was like impossible.
Oh, well, you probably were better on crutches than some of the kids I've coached. I mean, I did coach first grade basketball for Cameron, so, you know, there you go. So let's look at our next story. This one was interesting to me because at the top of the story, there was a picture, and you'll understand why this one caught my eye when you hear this story. Swedish police officer Michaela Kellner nabbed a pickpocketing suspect Tuesday. She had no idea the arrest would be so, well, arresting. Of course, that's what happens when you stop a crime wearing a bikini. That's right. Kellner, an officer for the Stockholm Police Department for 11 years, was off duty sunbathing with friends when a man claiming to sell magazines for homeless people came up to them. Although Kellner and friends declined to buy anything, the man kept hanging around. That's when she started thinking something was up. I told my friends to keep an eye on things, Kellner said. But as soon as he left, one of my friends said, "Where did my mobile phone go?" So he used the old newspaper trick or magazine trick where you set it down on top of something, and then when you pick it back up, you pick up what was underneath of it. And, well, she caught on to that, and she tackled him. There's a picture here of her in her bikini being tackled, and all I can say is if the policeman looked like this, I would commit more crimes. In fact, I had a friend whose wife that... it was going into the police academy, and I'll be honest, I don't know whether she actually made it as a police officer. We moved away not too long after that, but we used to tease her because she was, you know, in her early 20s and an attractive young lady, and it was, you know, "You're going to be a police officer? Well, you know, when you pull us over, our first thing is going to be, put me on the glass, put me on the glass." She didn't think it was too funny, but of course we did, so that was a strange story. So in this last one here, I'm going to hold my hand up so that you guys can pick up on what I'm reading here. And this says, permanent tattoos have become increasingly popular, with 21% of Americans now sporting one. And my question to that is, why would you want a tattoo? Nothing? Nothing?
Why not?
I have a small tattoo on my finger that my wife and I exchanged tattoos recently because neither one of us were able to wear our wedding rings anymore. But it is something I've noticed. Have you guys noticed that tattoos have become increasingly popular?
Most definitely. A lot of kids in our school have them.
Yeah, so when you see high schoolers with tattoos, you know that they're more popular. Well, we're about out of time. I want to thank Molly for coming in and talking about softball, talking about FFA, and I want to wish you a wonderful summer, and we look forward to next season. And thank you, Cameron, for being here. And so now, everybody, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith, Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice. 94.3 The Bridge. Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.